Lord, this morning we are so thankful for what happened 2,000 years ago. Lord, we thank you that we can know you this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you draw us to yourself, Lord, in these uncertain times, Lord. We, Lord, the future is not always sure for many people out there, but Lord, for us, the future is very sure. We thank you for eternity in our hearts, Lord, because you have died on the cross and you have made it possible for us to know you. Therefore, we can know an eternal God as mortal beings, as beings who physically will die. But thank you that, Lord, our spirits will never die, Lord. Our beings will never die, God. Even though we grow old, Lord, thank you that as the years tick over, God, the beginning of a new year, we thank you that the same remains true this year, Lord, as has always been throughout eternities, that you have created us for relationship with you. We thank you that we can know you this morning, God. We thank you for the privilege of coming to your house. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of it's still a small voice. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each one of us this morning, God. I pray, Lord, where there's so many voices wanting to shout to us this year, Lord, and so many opportunities and so many things, Lord. But I pray this morning that your still small voice would be very clear to us. What you're saying to each one of us this morning. And I thank you for each one here that you have called them, you have brought them to your house, Lord, and you haven't only brought them here, but Lord, you're also going to send them out. Even this year, Lord, you're going to send some people out, Lord, to go and do your will, God. We thank you, Lord, for those who are going to come this year. Thank you that these doors are open, God. We praise you, Lord, that you want to build your house right here, Lord. We thank you for this hall this morning, God. We thank you for the school. Thank you for the city, Father. Thank you that we're in this amazing city, Lord, with a redemptive purpose. And we want to know your purpose for the city this year. We want to know your will, God. Thank you that you've called some of us specifically to the city, God. Some are only here for a time, but some have been called to labor here until they breathe their last breath. We thank you for the faithfulness with which we can live. We can be faithful to you because you remain faithful, Lord. And even when we're unfaithful, you're still faithful. So we thank you for your faithfulness. We bless you for this morning, God. We commit the word to you right now. We thank you that your word will return with fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Thanks, band. Sure, it's awesome. Doesn't take lots of people to make awesome music. Just three sold out people for Jesus. Thanks, you three. Love you guys and welcome to the new year. You're out there somewhere. Wave at me. Say you're excited for the new year. It's great to have you all. I'm just excited that we can start early, eh? Aren't you excited that church starts this Sunday and not next Sunday or the Sunday after that? I'm excited. We're telling the spiritual realm that we are standing for Jesus. Amen. So I'm very excited to be here. I had a great holiday. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very excited to be back behind the pulpit again. I missed preaching, but it was a good break. It's time for us to take a break sometimes. But I definitely didn't take a break from the Lord Jesus because he's just amazing. Amen. I think at the beginning of the year, it will be interesting to ask each one, what is the Lord saying to you about this year? It would be amazing to go around and to ask each one, you know, what is the Lord saying? What has he said to you? Or maybe you haven't heard anything yet. What is he going to say to you? It would be so interesting to hear what the Lord is saying to each person. And I think it's important that we all take time now while it's still not so busy. Maybe some of us are starting work tomorrow, but that's fine. But at least the church program's not very busy yet. So I think it's important that we all take time out to really say to God, what is he wanting to do through us for this year? But talking about time, I brought our office clock, Belinda, our famous office clock with me this morning. It's I think I'll put it here, that you guys can see it clearly. It's not a small clock, is it? If we switch off the fans and we try to listen, we'll hear the ticking of this clock. Okay, it's quite soft at the moment, so I don't think you'll hear it. But I don't know about you. I don't know if you've been at night when you've struggled to go to sleep and you've heard a ticking of a clock, you know, and you just, all you can hear is this ticking of the clock. Has anyone had that experience where you can't go to sleep or you've been sick in hospital or somewhere and you just hear a clock ticking? That's all you can hear. Or maybe you've got one of those radio alarms next to your bed and you look at it and you see the time and it's like 12 o'clock and you still can't sleep, and you look a few hours later and you see it's 2 o'clock and you still can't sleep, and you just wish time would stand still. You somehow just wish like the morning wasn't coming because you've had no sleep. I mean, ask my wife. She gets woken up quite often by children. I just sleep through it. Okay? I think I've got wax in my ears or something, but I have actually. Dr. Cameron McIntosh had to take a lot of wax out my ears recently. I think he said, at least you can hear Nathan cry at night. So I said, rather leave it in there. But I think one thing is sure. All of us are bound by this thing, by a thing called time. All of us, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, we are slaves to time. We are bound by time while on this earth. Fortunately, it's going to end sometime. Then when we're in eternity, there'll be no more clocks ticking and no more time. But for now, we're all bound by time. My dad had this incredible saying. He said, time waits for no man. Time waits for no person. Unless, of course, you're Joshua and you can make the sun stand still. How many of us can try to do that? How many of us want to make the sun stand still sometimes? How many of us want to make the sun stand still on holiday, hey? That we don't have to sleep, we can just be on the beach all day and all night. You see, time is a great blessing from God, amen? But time can also be lost and it can be never retrieved again. It's almost like sleep. You know, when you've lost sleep, you can try to sleep as much as you want to the next day, you'll never catch up that lost sleep. Same with time. Time can be lost and never retrieved again. So I think it's quite a good thing, don't you think, to talk about time at the beginning of the year. Time is precious. See, I'm not into New Year's resolutions. I don't know about you guys. If you guys make these New Year's resolutions and you try to stick to them. I've been there, done that. I didn't get the t-shirt, okay? It didn't work. It works for a month or so and then, or maybe for 2 months for some people, and then things just get busy. But I still want to say this morning that I still believe we need to prioritize our time. Amen? It's not about making resolutions that you can't stick to. It's really about prioritizing our time. And this morning, I want to just talk to you for a while about something called redeeming the time. There's actually a module in Bible school second year which we do called Redeeming the Time. So I would encourage you, if you haven't done it, do Bible school this year. But I'm just going to, something the Lord just shown me about this whole thing, because sometimes we can be so legalistic about it. We can plan our day to the last hour and we can make these resolutions. We're going to wake up at a certain time every day, and then we ultimately still bound by time and we're bound by circumstances. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to simply do the following, and I trust it will set you free this morning. The Bible says the following: see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, see then that you walk carefully, watchfully, vigilantly, looking about, because why? The devil's out like a roaring lion. The days are evil, the Bible says. And I think, if we just look at the news and we look at the world around us, the days are evil. Amen. It's not good out there. If you watch the news and you just, you know, and it's the truth. I know the media sometimes doesn't speak the full truth, but the truth is there's carnage out there. It's just awesome to be in the house of God, a safe place, this place of peace, this place of rest. But out there, it's a war. The days are evil. And therefore, Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, yeah, you've got to make the most of the time. The Amplified says, make the very most of the time, buying up each and every opportunity. You see, in any situation or decision that we make, we're either going to be what's called wise people or we're going to be fools. There's no in between, okay? You either make a wise decision or you make a foolish decision. There's a bit of wisdom or a bit of foolishness. It's either a wise decision. I'm not talking about being perfect here, okay? But you know when you've been a fool in certain situations, amen? You know when you've been wise and you know when you've been not so wise. My dad had this other saying. I listened to my dad at times in my life. He said, some are wise and some are otherwise. Those otherwise people, they're the fool. They're the fools. It's like, for instance, guys, let's talk about lust now. You watch that thing you weren't supposed to watch. There's no like in between. That was a foolish decision. You chose not to watch it. That was a wise decision. See, it's not about being perfect. Or, for instance, let's say Facebook. You made a wise decision by saying, I'll only look at Facebook for a while. And then after a while, you look at it, you see the time's gone, about an hour or two has gone past. That was a bit of a foolish decision, to waste 2 hours or 1 hour on Facebook. There's nothing wrong with looking at Facebook. But you see, there's a foolish decision and a wise decision. There's a foolish choice we make sometimes, or a wise choice we make. And so that's what Paul says here. He says we must walk, we must be watchful because our time is going to be stolen very easily. The devil loves to steal our time with stuff that we're busy with that we shouldn't be busy with. And so this whole thing of time, let's just look at it quickly. I want to ask the question then, how can we redeem the time? If Paul says we must redeem the time, if Paul says the days are evil and we must walk wisely, how do we do this? And it's simple. I love Scripture because Scripture gives us the answer. When Scripture says something, then it actually, the next few verses will actually give you the answer. And so that's what I just want to look at out of this passage. Because I believe if we get this right, this year is going to be great. Amen. But if we don't get this right, we could look back at this year and say, oh, let's just hope for another year because maybe we can't waste time the next year. Maybe we'll get it right. And it's not about being perfect, guys. It's about growing. I want to encourage you, but let's not make the same mistakes. Let's not make the same foolish choices as we did last year. All of us have made foolish choices last year. Okay? We're not perfect. But let's make more wise choices this year. Let's redeem the time more this year than we did last year. The first thing I believe that we can do to redeem the time is in verse 17. So Paul goes on and he says, therefore, in other words, he's talking about the thing previously. Whatever he said, you must redeem the time, the days are evil, you must walk wisely, therefore. And he says again, he says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So I want to ask you, do you know what the will of the Lord is? Jacobus, do you know what the will of the Lord is? Wayne, do you know what the will of the Lord is? Teresa, Kharda, Ala Kharda. Do you know what the will of the Lord is? Alistair, do I know what the will of the Lord is? It's easy. Just read the Bible. No, it's not so easy. Eh? Just read the Bible. I can stop preaching now. Let's go. Then we know what the will of the Lord is. It doesn't say know the will of the Lord. It says understand the will of the Lord. Do you know what understand is? Understand is being able to actually grasp it and apply it. Notice another thing. It doesn't say the will of the Lord for your life. Sorry to say. You know, some people are, oh, what is the will of God for my life this year? It says, what is the will of God? Eesh, but tough. It doesn't say, what is the will of God for your life? It says, what is the will of God? Understand what the will of the Lord is. See, how it applies in your life and how it pans out in your life is different for every person, but there's a will of God, amen? Because you see, so many people these days are running around the will of God for my life and for your life and that life and that life. There's so many wills of God out there that you wonder if is there one God out there, or is there maybe a lot of gods out there, they're just doing the will of that God. Just getting you guys thinking a little bit. So now I'm sure you want to know, what is the will of God, Alistair? Well, it's simple. I looked at a few things here. I just looked at a few things in the Bible which talks about the will of God. And I guess you can talk about a lot of things, but there's four things that I found here. The first one is found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3a. From the Amplified Version, it says the following: for this is the will of God. Okay, so there's an answer. This is the will of God, the following: that you should be consecrated, separated, set apart for pure and holy living. Amen. It's the will of God. A consecrated life. It talks about sanctification. It talks about becoming holy, for He is holy. And so in this context, Paul is actually talking here about sexual immorality. And he goes on to say, therefore, do not walk in the lust of the flesh. Do not fulfill the sexual immoral life. But I believe it doesn't only talk about that. I believe the will of God is that we should be consecrated. If we are consecrated, we will not do the lust of the flesh. We will not do the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. We will be consecrated unto God. So I want to ask you this morning, which areas of your life are not consecrated to God? You can know it. You can just ask God, God, which areas of my life do I not really glorify you? Which areas of my life do I fall quickly for the flesh? Do I fall quickly for what I want, not what you want? You see, what unconsecrated areas of our lives equal time wasters. Amen. If there's a certain area in your life that's not consecrated, you know what will happen? You'll waste time. You won't do the will of God. And time wasting is not just about doing bad things. It's just about doing stuff that's not going to glorify God. It's a waste of time. Because time is in His hands. He's created us for good works. Amen. For instance, in your finances. Maybe you're not consecrated in your finances. Maybe you're not consecrated in your sexuality, your purity. Maybe you're not consecrated in your pride. The three big challenges in life: the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, sex, money, and power. There's other things that you can fit in those categories, but let's think about it. If your finances, that's the lust of the eyes, material stuff. How do we consecrate our finances? We obey what Hain said this morning. Tithe, give our first fruits. How do we consecrate our sexuality? Before marriage, stay pure, and then get married and stay pure as well. And consecrate your sexuality to one person and to Jesus. Amen. That's why we make the vows. How do you consecrate your pride? Or how do you, not consecrate, how do you lay down your pride? Submit to a body of believers. Submit to the one another principle. Accountability. Having someone speak into your life. And we'll talk about that now. But I want to say to you this morning, which areas of your life do you still need to consecrate to the Lord? Because that's the first thing of how to redeem the time. It's a consecrated life. You see, it's not a 10-point plan. It's not stuff that you must do. It's just saying, God, I want to live for you. Because guess what will happen? You will redeem the time. You will be effective. You will be a good steward. Then the second thing is, listen to this, 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For it's the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. So yeah, we can start talking about the will for your life, but it's the will for all of us. It's the will of God for all of us to rejoice, to pray, to thank God. Amen. How many times do we waste time complaining? Do we waste time moaning? Do we waste time groaning? Getting depressed about life. Think about last year. I can just think about so many times. My wife will tell you, please, I don't want her to tell you all my weaknesses. Okay? She will tell you I complained a lot about certain things and certain people sometimes. Pastors do complain about people, but I should complain to God about them, okay? So that's a tip. Complain to God first about people, but don't complain about people. Just thank God. Rejoice. Amen. Rejoice always, it says. In other words, There shouldn't be, yes, there's tough times. It's, life isn't easy, but we should always rejoice, because why? We've always got something to rejoice about. We should always pray. Praying is a good thing to redeem the time, wouldn't you say? That you'll never waste time by praying. How many times do we think, oh shucks, I can't pray so long because I've got other things to do? No, no. The other things should be secondary to prayer. Pray always. Pray without ceasing, it says. So this is a lifestyle. This isn't something that we must do every now and again. This is a lifestyle. Rejoice. Pray. And then it says, in everything. So that's also like all the time. I don't know how someone does. This is a perfect Christian. Okay, but this is what we're striving for. This is what we're saying. Jesus, help us to live this life. I don't know if you guys have heard of Danny Johnson. My wife's reading her book at the moment. She's this incredible businesswoman in America. And she literally was down and out. She didn't have a home. She was homeless. Got pregnant at 17. And at 21, she had nothing. She had literally no money. She had no one. She was just down and out. And 2 years later, she became a millionaire. By the grace of God. And she's a Christian. But she says the following. She's a motivational speaker and really changed lots of people's lives. But she says the following. She says, we can be so focused on negativity, complaining, frustration, resentment, bitterness, or unfairness in life that we all lose hope. But you have to train your brain to be a champion. One way to train is to keep a gratitude journal in which you write all the things that you're grateful for every day. And she says, this is what helped me to go from homeless to millionaire. A journal of gratitude. To say every day to the Lord, and sometimes we have to write it down because we think it in our heads, but we're not really thankful for it. To write it down is to say to the Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for life. Thank you that I've got a car to drive, a house to live in. Some of us maybe even don't have that, but that's fine. Thank God for what you have. Thank God for your job. Thank God for your friends and family. I was just so thankful again this holiday. We spent lots of time with people, with family and with friends down in the Cape. And it was so amazing. I said to Esther, we are so thankful. We are so incredibly thankful for the friends in our lives. And for our family, that we come from a home that's not broken. Even though there's challenges and family can be difficult. But we need to be thankful for the friends and family we have. And I'm thankful for you guys and for the church and for the friends we have here. But there's so much to be thankful for, guys. So the will of God for your life. If you want to redeem the time, do those three things. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. And we can put this on a plan and say, yo, Lord, we're going to pray more this year. And we know what happens. We're intentional and then it just fades away. But let's commit to live a life of thanksgiving, of rejoicing, and of prayer. Because it's the will of God. Number three, for this is the will of God, 1 Peter 2:15, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By doing good. Ephesians 2:10 says, we have been created for good works. Amen. So you know, that's one way to really know the will of God and to do it is to do good works. But those works that God has called us. Amen. So don't be scared of doing good works. You know the best way, if you ever thought about it, what is the best way to prevent you from doing nothing? Just do something. And I don't want to make people go into works, but I just want to say, just do something, okay? Sometimes we're waiting for the perfect will of God, and we want to do exactly what God says, and so we wait and we wait and we wait, and what did Reinhard Bonnke say, Ains? That the people who are waiting to do the will of God are overrun by the people doing the will of God, something like that. Okay? So many people are waiting to do the will of God. Meanwhile, there's some people that are just doing the will of God, changing the world, changing lives. So just start somewhere, okay? That's how I've walk this Christian walk. I remember talking about getting involved in church. I just did whatever needed to be done. I just did something. And maybe it wasn't the perfect thing for me, but at least it got me to do something. And then I found out, okay, but I can rather do this thing and then that thing. And then I found what I wanted to do and needed to do. But so many people are doing nothing. So that they're not doing good works. And even at work, I want to say to you guys that are working, do good works there. Ask God to show you, what can I do to bless someone else? What can I do to put to shame the ignorance of foolish men? To put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Show people at work that you're a Christian. Live it out. Make someone a cup of coffee. Go the extra mile. Do the little things. Bless people. Speak life over people. But just do good and be the opposite of the world. Amen. There's lots of good works we can do. And I'm not saying you must just do a lot of good works. Okay, you must obey God. But just know that the will of God is that you do good. And if you read 1 Peter 2, it talks about living that Christian life, the changed life, the life of the redeemed. So do good. Do something. Lastly, the will of God is my favorite. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness, but He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. 1 Timothy 2:4 says the same thing. God's desire is that everyone comes to salvation. Everyone comes to the knowledge of the truth. That is God's will. So I want to say to you, whatever you're doing, trust God in some way that you can lead people to repentance. That you can bring people into the kingdom of God. Jesus died, friends, so that all can have the ability. All will not come to salvation, but all have the opportunity, all have the ability, all have the option to say, Jesus, I don't want to live in hell. I want to live with you. Jesus died so that all can come to know God, and that is the will of God, friends. The will of God is a consecrated life. The will of God is a lifestyle of rejoicing, praying, and thanksgiving. The will of God is for us to do good works, but the will of God is also, and this is the one we forget because we're so focused on our lives and how consecrated we are and how perfect we are and how many good works we do. But if the good works aren't leading to someone coming to salvation, it's not good works. It's like feeding the poor. We can feed the poor forever, but if they're going to still go to hell with a full stomach, okay? I know it's a bit harsh. But I mean, we can do lots of good works, but if it's not leading to people coming to repentance and people being saved, then we're also just doing nice things. This year, for us to redeem the time, God doesn't want us to just do nice or cute things. He really wants us to say, we trust God for people to come to heaven with us. So I want to ask you this morning, who are you praying for? Who are you trusting God for you to join on this journey? It's not just about going to heaven. It's terrible if people just go to heaven. Heaven starts here. Heaven starts with life in abundance on earth. Amen. Who are you praying for? Who are you bringing along with you? First, your kids. Those of us who got kids, we must trust God that they come to salvation. Family, friends, work colleagues. Those in the university, those we study with. Let's trust God for people to join us on this journey. Amen. Souls are the currency of heaven. I believe heaven starts here on earth where the more we gather momentum, and that's why it's so wonderful to pack out more chairs. You know, we don't just pack out enough chairs for who's coming, for who we know is coming. We pack out enough chairs for, we always got space for more. Amen. There's lots of space in this hall. But you know, it's not about space in church. I believe it's about space in your heart. Have you got space in your heart for other people? Because that's where it starts. We can pack out lots of chairs here and hope that people will come. But you know what? If we haven't got space in our hearts, God's not going to send the people. Have we got space in our hearts to disciple people this year? Have we got space in our hearts to receive people into our homes that are broken, that are lost? Because you know, it's not about, and I believe, guys, this year, it's not about someone making a commitment here in front. We're going to have that. We're going to have salvations this year. I know it. But that's just the start. And that's so many people fall away. How many people make commitments at crusades and at church and are they really disciples of Christ? And we haven't been called to make converts. We've been called to make disciples. So it's not about space in church. Because we can have a massive crusade and get lots of people. And that's great, but are we discipling them? Are we having space for them in our small groups, in our homes? Are we going to have space for those who come to repentance? Because that is God's will. So how do we redeem the time this morning? We understand the will of God, number one, and number two. Verse 18 says the following. So just two things that I want you to remember. Knowing the will of God, not only knowing it, understanding it, and also having wisdom to do the will of God, but secondly, and this ties in with the first one, because in order for us to understand the will of God, to do the will of God, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Do not be drunk with wine, he says, and. So he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Then he says, and. So number two, secondly, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, in which is just chaos, revelry. You're going to die if you do that all the time. Your life is going to mean nothing but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that doesn't mean once. It's not baptism in the Spirit. It's being continually filled and walking in the Holy Spirit. Because I believe if we're filled with the Holy Spirit continually and really, I mean filled, we're living a life of rejoicing, thanksgiving, prayer. We're living a life where we're witnessing to people. We're living a life of the Christian life. Then we won't waste time. We'll be so excited to do the will of God. Amen. It'll come easy. It'll come naturally. We won't have to try to do the will of God. We will do the will of God. But it's that choice to stand up every morning and to say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I want to consecrate my life to you. I want to do your will today. I want to do your will every day. What will happen when we're filled with the Spirit? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the first thing. When we're filled with the Spirit, you know what? We'll edify the body of Christ. We'll edify one another. We'll edify people. We'll edify the believers. Speaking to one another, he says, in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Then secondly, it says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, sometimes I think that verse was written for people like me that can't really sing. So we must make melody in our heart, you know. It's not really. It's all about worshiping from the heart. Praise and worship from the heart this year, guys. Are we excited for that? Not just singing a few songs. Not just trying to follow the band. They're just there to lead us into the presence of God from our hearts. We mustn't just sing along. So it says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the second thing we're going to do when we're Spirit-filled is that praise and worship is going to flow from our hearts. And then it says, give thanks always. Once again, this thing of thanksgiving just comes through because, guys, this is the will of God that we give thanks. Okay? It came through last year so strongly, and it's just like God saying, this is basic stuff. But how often do we forget to give thanks? But when you're filled with the Spirit, you know what? You will give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember where you've come from. You'll remember your salvation. You'll remember your experience when you got born again. You'll remember that life is actually not so tough. Life is great with Christ. And then lastly, it says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. You know what that talks about? That talks about being open to learn from one another and say, listen, yeah, I'm not always going to know the answer. And I'll sometimes do wrong things. So you know what? I'm going to submit to someone and let them speak into my life and just put it all on the table. Amen? Being accountable, being open, being submitting to one another. Why? Because the fear of God is around. If you don't do this, you know what? You're in trouble. If you isolate yourself, the devil's going to take you out. But when the Holy Spirit comes and the fear of God comes into your life, you know what you'll do? You'll submit to one another. You'll find someone that you can submit to. It's not about like this authority structure. It's about a submission from the heart and saying, I want to submit to you because I don't know all the answers. And you know what? That's why church is so great. That's why I find so much safety in this church, because I know I've got someone, and I went to that person this holiday. It was so awesome to go to one of my best friends. Another pastor who knows the challenges of ministry and being able to say, listen, yeah, let's talk. And he also said, let's talk. Played some tennis as well, but we talked. Submitting to one another. And it's not a forced thing. If it's a forced thing, that you're missing the will of God. But it's being open to say, will you listen to me? I want to submit to you. I want to submit my life to you. And I want to learn from you. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Guys, the devil wants to take us out. And the only thing that's going to prevent that is when we have the fear of God coming via the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, the fear of God is there. The fear of God comes in and we submit and we're accountable and we make sure the devil is not going to have an open door in our lives. So just to sum up, the result of being Holy Spirit filled is the following. We edify one another. We bless one another. We edify the body. We speak life. We sing to one another sometimes, okay? But at least just edify one another. Speak to one another. Bless one another. I think that we do it too little. We encourage one another so little. But we're easy to criticize, eh? We're easy to find fault with people, and I'm talking to myself here. But do we bless people? Do we encourage people? Do we exhort? It's not just about flattering people. It's a spirit-filled thing that God is. And you know, the best is to give someone a word from the Spirit. Amen. That's what changed my life the most, is when someone said, this is what God is saying to you. Boof, and it resonated with me. It's not like, you know, I'm also spirit-filled, so I can also hear God. But someone just confirmed something, and it's like, thank you, brother. I needed to hear that. Edify one another. Secondly, praise and worship will flow. Praise and worship will flow in church. Praise and worship will flow in small groups. Praise and worship will flow whenever we get together. And you know what? Praise and worship will flow in our own quiet time as well. Because we're going to sing and make melody to the Lord from our hearts. Number three, thanksgiving will abound in our lives. And then lastly, the fear of God. Mutual submission and accountability. And you know what? I put something else in here. If we are a body of believers like this, if we walk in edification, if we walk in this lifestyle of praise and worship, if we walk in thanksgiving and mutual submission where there's safety, we know we're not perfect, so we make room for the imperfections, we make room for our pride. You know what? People will be drawn in. People will want to be part of a body like this. A family where there's safety, where there's love, where there's a focus on God and His goodness. Outsiders will be drawn in. Amen. So I'm excited about this. I'm excited about us being a Holy Spirit-filled church that also knows the will of God and is doing the will of God. You know, ultimately, we're going to stand before heaven one day and God's going to say, well done, you redeemed the time. Well done, you made the most of 2015. You know what the definition of madness is? It's doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So let's not be mad this year. Let's not be crazy and think that we're going to do the same thing again and again. And you know what? Hopefully things will change. Things won't change. But when we redeem the time, when we don't make the same mistakes, when we learn from them and we understand what the will of the Lord is for our lives and for Him, His will. It's not for our lives. It's actually His will. I don't like to always say the will of the Lord for my life or for your life. I like to say the will of the Lord. How are you doing the will of the Lord? That's a bit different. Because often we want to say, oh God, this is my will, so you just come and fulfill my will. God's will is for us to be holy, for us to do good works, for us to have a life of rejoicing and praying and thanksgiving, for us to see people come to salvation, see people being discipled. That's the will of God. See, busy people get things done. Amen. If you want to get something done, ask a busy person to do it. They'll do it very quickly. You ask a lazy person or person that's not so busy, you think they got lots of time, they won't do it. Why? Because, and it's not about doing lots of stuff. It's just about really saying, God, I want to redeem the time. And I want to make time out of my schedule. Because sometimes we can also be so, I've got a friend who's so rigid in his time. It's like, this is all I'm going to do, nothing more, nothing less. And then we're also limiting God. But you know, sometimes with an open-minded, busy person, they will always make time. If God says so, then they'll say, okay, I'm going to change my schedule a bit because God is saying, no, I must minister to this person. I must do this and this and this. They will find time for it. So we must never say this year, I don't have time. Amen. We mustn't say this year. If we know God has called us to do something, let's not say, I don't have time. We should choose now to say, Lord, you've given me all the time I need to do what your will is. You've given me time. So let's not say, I don't have time this year. Let's not come to that place where we procrastinate, where we know it's the will of God and we just wait for another year to pass. Let's choose this year, guys. And I don't want to put a burden on you because I know what it's like when you commit to something and you know you must do it and you don't. It's such a feeling of failure. And that's not what I want, but I want us this year to say, God, you're going to say to me certain things, and I want to do that. And you're not going to say to me now exactly what's going to happen this year. See, this year's a bit like this little block. I got this in a lucky, not a lucky packet, one of those Christmas crackers, okay? So let me try and do it in front of you. Have you guys seen these blocks or not? So for, I think this is a word for someone. This year is a bit like this block. You want it all nice and neat at the end of the year, but at the beginning of the year it's going to look like this. It's going to look quite messy and different. Like there are holes here and there's curves and there's... How does this all fit together, Lord? But if we walk in step with the Spirit and we do what God says, then things will look rocky at times. Things will look difficult. Now I've got to get this right. I did practice. Okay, so there it starts to come together, you see? But it still doesn't look so cool. See, God knows the end product. Then you start putting the things together. Then it starts to look like it's forming something. And at the end, it all comes together like that. A nice block. And then at the end of the year, you'll look and you'll see, God built my puzzle. God knew exactly what this year was going to hold. And for some people, this is what you hope it looks like now, and it doesn't look like that now. It looks like all these blocks are in different pieces. But if you're faithful to redeem the time, if you're faithful to do the will of God, to seek His face with everything in you, then it will all come together. At the end of the year, God will say to you, listen here, I built your year. Because it's not easy. It's not just square blocks being put on top of each other. It's fitting inside and struggling a little bit. So where's your year standing right now? What are you excited about? What is God saying to you? Lord, this morning, there's so many things you want to say to each one of us, Lord. So many things you want to say at the beginning of a year, Lord. Lord, we choose this year to redeem the time, Lord. We choose this year, Lord, not to just listen to the clock ticking over. Not just to listen to time going by. Not to waste time on our phones or on Facebook or watching TV. There's a time for that, Lord. There's a time for just relaxing and doing that. But Lord, I pray that we will know what you are saying at this time. We will know what your will is for this year. And I thank you that, Lord, some of our lives look all neat, and you're going to even break them up, Lord, into different blocks. Some of our lives are looking like a mess. They're all over the place. The blocks don't look like they're ever going to come together. But Lord, I thank you that this year you know how things must come together. You know what we must do with our lives this year. You know what we must do with 2015. Lord, the greatest safety we have this morning is that you know. You want to reveal your will to us, Lord. And I pray that we'd have such a desire to understand and to walk in wisdom to do your will. Not only to know it, not only to half apply it, but to, Lord, to walk fully in your will. Lord, I pray for rejoicing this year, Lord. I pray for consecration, Lord. Some people are living in such ugliness, Lord. They don't like their lives. They don't like their actions. Some people are reacting always to their own hurts, Lord. And I just thank you right now that you come to still storms and still hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we'd start to think also outside ourselves. Start to think about the lost out there, Lord. Start to think about the broken. Start to build a house, Lord, where you can see people come to repentance. You can see people come to salvation. Because that's your will, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd come fill us, Lord. I pray that you wouldn't force you, because you do not force yourself on us. But I pray for a desire, Lord, that you'd create in each of us to be filled every single day. That we can walk in thanksgiving, that we can walk in edification of one another, that we can walk in mutual submission, Lord, that we can walk in a lifestyle where we worship and glorify you from our hearts. Lord, I know when I was drawn to Shofar, God, I could see there was this body of believers that we're walking in this lifestyle. I pray for us here in Bloemfontein, Lord, that we won't just conform to the way it's done, the way the city does things, or the way the norm is, God. I pray that we'd be the church of Acts again, Lord. Edifying one another, living in thanksgiving, worshipping you despite the pain, Lord, despite the challenges and the struggles. So many of us, Lord, as soon as the times get tough, we just back down. We just go into our little cocoons, Lord. But I thank you for worship to spring forth from our hearts this year. In Jesus' name.